Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Big refund, big project, big savings at Menards. Turn your tax refund into your next big project. That patio you've been dreaming of is more affordable than you think when you do it yourself. Get free estimates fast using our landscaping design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on the largest selection of concrete landscaping blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello and welcome to the Full of Beans podcast, hosted by myself, Hannah Hickenbotham. Throughout these podcast episodes, we will speak to a range of individuals about their experience of eating disorders, with the aim of increasing awareness and understanding, whilst reducing stigma and isolation. Please note that the topics discussed in this podcast may be triggering for some individuals, so tread lightly, check in with yourself, and reflect on these conversations. Today I'm joined by Sophie Killip. Sophie is an eating disorder and body image therapist and works with her clients to help them heal their relationship with food, body and self. Sophie joins us today to discuss navigating change, including changes in our bodies, our lives, through recovery and how to navigate these changes. Hello, Sophie.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I am super excited to be here today.
Yeah, it's so lovely. I feel like it was so nice chatting to you when we did like the initial podcast, and I feel like we just got on so well that we could probably talk for a long time about nothing to do with what we're going to talk about. But yeah, I'm so excited to just have a really nice chat and kind of get down to things with you. And I also was thinking just before we started this, like, it's a perfect time to record things about change because the weather is actually starting to change, which is very exciting, I think, because it's getting slightly warmer. And it's still kind of light at 6:15.
Yeah, kind of. I've also gone through this like wild experience today because I've got like this big window in front of me, and it's gone from being so sunny and blue this morning to just like literally hailing. And I'm like, what is going on? But it's just so true, like how much change there is even in a day. So yeah, it's been wild.
Yeah, we had snow last week. I don't know about you, but I had snow. I cycled to work, didn't look at the weather, and then had to cycle back in the snow, which was not fun.
Oh my goodness. I've actually swerved the snow, which is crazy because I live in Manchester, and everybody usually thinks of Manchester as like the coldest, most rainy place on the planet. But I think the rain actually stopped it from snowing. Like, it was still snowing, but it just didn't stick. And then I got pictures from people in Sheffield, and even my parents' family home in Derby. Like, and there was just so much snow everywhere. Oh, wow. So yeah, we just didn't really get any of it. And it was just nice yesterday, I think, because it was like, no, Sunday, it was like 12 degrees.
Baking.
And I felt like I was just defrosting. Yeah, like my bones were just melting away. It was so nice.
Yeah, coming out of hibernation. Yeah, I was in the Lake District at the weekend, and we went down up on the Friday, and the weather warnings were like, don't travel, like the Pennines are awful. And then there's a bit of snow, but I didn't really see anything. So I think we kind of skirted it as well. So clearly got a talent for missing the snow. But yeah, let's get started with the podcast. So I'm really excited to hear about your journey of working in eating disorders. So how did that start for you, and how did it come about with a particular focus on body image?
So with the eating disorders, I always try and think about like, when was I first really interested in that area? And I think probably just deciding to volunteer when I was in my final year of uni. I volunteered with First Steps, mm-hmm. which I think you're familiar with.
Oh, yes.
And I was an online befriender there. Yeah.
Safe charity.
Got to do some training through them. Yeah, they're really awesome. They actually are so close to my family home. So that's kind of how I discovered them. Like, this is back in, like, I don't even know, maybe 2015. So it feels like ages ago that. And also I think growing up and just being really interested in food, in my relationship with food. I studied food technology at school. My mum, she's a food technology teacher, or she was. And I think we were just so immersed in all of that. I was really encouraged to kind of eat like a variety of different foods and to try out different things. So yeah, I've just always loved food basically. And found it really, just found our relationship with food a really curious topic of how that can change kind of from being children all the way into like being a teenager and then into your 20s when a lot of people go to uni and then kind of going and being in like the working world as well. And, you know, we're talking a lot about change today, aren't we? And I can certainly see how my relationship with food, particularly my body, has changed over the years. And for me, body image and body image work is, it just holds a very special place in my heart, just because of like my personal experiences with it. When I was a teenager and kind of in my early 20s, I really, really struggled with negative body image. And looking back on it now, I realize how much importance I placed on my appearance and how it was such a big part of my self-worth for so long. So not to say that, you know, every day is an amazing body image day for me. I've definitely kind of focused more on the acceptance side of it, but yeah, focusing more on like what my body can do for me and really kind of practicing that like body gratitude, it's just been so healing for me personally. And when I speak about it with clients, I see that, you know, it just makes so much sense to them as well of like, you know, your body is an instrument, not an ornament. And I would say that's, yeah, just some of the most meaningful work that I do, to be honest. So yeah, it's kind of how I ended up as an eating disorder and body image therapist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think you're so right. Like, you know, our body image, it does play such a massive part. But I also think it's kind of pushed on us by society for it to play such a massive part. And you're almost a anomaly if you don't kind of, whether it's, I don't know, you love your body or you hate your body, if you've not really got any emotion around it, it's kind of, that's not the norm. Mm-hmm. So what do you think like really impacts the way that we see our body and kind of the feelings we have around our body image?
Yeah, I mean, it's so true what you've just said there, that it's normalized to place appearance as something that's this really, really important thing. And I think that it only sort of takes looking at like different beauty ideals, particularly like the strive for thinness with women, and how much objectification goes on with women as well, where we're really just seen to be these decorations that are to be looked at. So yeah, already from such a young age we're exposed to this kind of you know, idea of what we need to look like from as young as primary school, magazines, at least when I was younger, obviously social media these days, diet culture, and just how it shows up everywhere. I think those are huge things that can influence our body image. But really, body image is the way that we see ourselves when we look in the mirror or when we picture ourselves in our own mind. And so it encompasses the thoughts, the feelings, the perceptions that we have about the way that we look. So, for example, you know, if our mood is low or if we're feeling anxious about something, then we're actually more likely to then experience negative thoughts about the way that we look. And I always found that really confusing at first, of how our mood can then suddenly impact the way that we actually see ourselves. But when we're placing a lot of worth based on how we look and we have a difficult day, unhappy and we feel kind of rubbish about ourselves, then that's why it's so easy to sort of turn to our appearance and see that as like, oh, that must be the thing that's wrong with me. So yeah, I feel like I can't even hone that in enough of just how much our thoughts and our feelings, it is really the thing that affects how we feel about ourselves and the way that we look.
I want to come back in a second, so don't let me forget, to the like body ideals and the changes, because I think that's a really important topic. But I just wanted to kind of focus in on what you were saying about your like how mood affects your body image, because I think that to me has always boggled my mind as well. And especially as I used to have body dysmorphia, so it would boggle me even more in that the way that I was feeling about, you know, whether I was depressed or whether I was happy or, you know, whether I was angry or whatever, completely changed the way that I saw the reflection in my mirror, in the mirror. And I just think that's fascinating. And actually, I don't know whether like you have any thoughts about this, but it's, I always now, and this is such a difficult thing to do, but try and like not even think about the way that my body looks, because actually it's a complete distortion of what I've internalized. So, you know, I could have internalized that my legs look a certain way and that my arms look a certain way, and I'm doing that in comparison to somebody else, and actually what's in the reflection, like, it's not even real, which then does then go like, oh my god, then what the hell is real? But I think it's so interesting that dependent on your mood, the way that you see yourself can be so different.
I know. Yeah, it is. It's wild to think about it like that. And I know that for me, I'm susceptible to going into that like existential crisis of like, well, if this is not real, then what is real? And who are we? And where are we going in life? Yeah, like when we actually focus more on not so much the external appearance, but how we're feeling internally, and really that kind of just that subjective experience, that like embodiment of what it feels like to be living inside of our bodies, that's the thing that we can always go back to. Because our external appearance, it literally can change from hour to hour, definitely on kind of a mental level, but also on a physical level as well, like with bloating, you know, with kind of waking up first thing in the morning and going to bed at night. And there are just so many changes that go through our bodies every day that expecting it to just be this like still image is just so unrealistic. And I think that, I guess going on to that, like perfectionism can be a really big thing that influences our bodies, because we are expecting ourselves to kind of just stay as these like statues, or to fit into this mold of whatever society deems to be the most beautiful at that time. And it's just, it's not realistic. And so that's where I think with the perfectionism, it can kind of lead to that self-criticism. And obviously thoughts influence feelings and feelings influence thoughts, but if we're feeling quite anxious or if we're feeling angry, we might then be more susceptible to that self-criticism and picking out our perceived flaws. So it just creates this vicious cycle of negative body image. And I think that what you said there of like
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Not to actually focus too much on the way that you look can be so empowering, because it just takes the pressure away. It takes the the value away from this thing that is constantly changing, and it's empowering, because it's like, well, how do I actually feel? Like, screw everybody else and society and expectations and judgments. So yeah,
I think that what you've just said there about like everybody else's expectations, I think is a really interesting piece, because, and I wanted to come back to like the body ideals anyway, but it's so interesting how not only, you know, over the years, like if we look back at body ideals and stuff, then there's been some wild changes. It's gone from, you know, like the thin chic to like big bum, big boobs. Now it's like strength is the new skinny, whatever. I don't even know where we're at now, because I try and keep my head out of it. But that's so difficult to keep up with if you try and like sustain the ideal body type. But something that I've been thinking about more so recently is like everybody in the world actually has a different ideal body type. Like, it might be that society is pushing these glamorized ones, but not necessarily everybody else is going to be following those. So if you do try and have the perfect body for everyone, well, that's never going to happen. So actually you've got to at some point, well, hopefully, realize that actually it's about how you feel rather than how your body looks, which is so difficult with all the external pressures and stuff. And I was just about to say there, like, you've got to look how you feel happy. But actually, I think it comes further back than that even more, in that it's not, like we said before, it's not about how you look, it's about how you feel. So as long as you're feeling good in yourself, which doesn't necessarily mean that you'll look a certain way, that's kind of I guess the end goal, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. And as you were talking there, I was thinking about how I think it's easy for us to turn to our appearance and judge ourselves for how we look, because it's a way to kind of project our feelings onto something that we can see, because how we feel, our emotions, they're such a abstract and difficult thing to explain sometimes, but we know that we can always see the way that we look. And I think that's why, you know, a lot of people are very quick to judge people's appearance or to comment on appearance, because it's so accessible. And so if we're then not feeling good in ourselves, if we're feeling, you know, unworthy, or if we're feeling uncomfortable, or if we're feeling anxious, which is obviously quite an uncomfortable emotion, it's almost easier to then just literally project it onto the mirror and be like, oh, I don't like how I look, when like what you really mean is I'm feeling uncomfortable in how I'm feeling right now. I know that's so deep, but like I think that's why body image and like you know, low self-esteem and low self-worth can be so interconnected with one another.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think what you were saying about, you know, even if we just think about, you know, if somebody's having a bad time, they maybe might not put makeup on because they're too upset or whatever to put makeup on, and just simple things like that. Like, that's a real reflection of how you're feeling. But I think especially when it comes to eating disorders, people do try and manipulate their body, whether that's to gain weight, to lose weight, in order to kind of say something's happening right now, and I can't actually vocalize that. So I think food is often used as a vehicle for that, which then has the long-term impact of affecting your body. So I think you're completely right in that it's really a way, I think it's a way of saying, you know, something's not right, but also I think it's a way of trying to feel superior. You know, if you have the idealized body type, then the world can be falling apart underneath you, but it's okay because I'm, you know, if you think about maybe I'm muscular or I'm slim or whatever, I've got these qualities, like nothing else matters because my body looks good, quote unquote. Yeah. Good.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, really, and this is also no judgment, but it's very ego based, isn't it? And it's a way of somehow trying to control a situation where other things in your life feel very out of control, which is also what we see when it comes to food as well. And just to go back to what we were talking about, beauty ideals. Okay, so Marilyn Monroe, right? Like, we often kind of see her as, oh, like Marilyn Monroe, she was really curvy. Like, why can't we go back to those like beauty ideals? Marilyn Monroe was very petite. She was actually very, very thin. She was in a small body. And yet we see her as like this curvy mama that really like goes against the thinness ideal. She actually like would have met the thinness ideal. And again, that is no judgment on her whatsoever, but just an example of how we just constantly see this kind of thinness ideal going through our society. And then also social media and filters like just bring up this deep anger within me of like, why are people creating these strange things that go over the top of your face and change your appearance so that you've got a more defined jawline, a smaller nose, bigger eyes, whatever, to sort of quote unquote make yourself look more beautiful? And then all of these teenagers or vulnerable people or whoever are using them and thinking, oh gosh, I need to look more like that. It absolutely infuriates me. I think they need to be banned from society. I don't know your opinions on it, but yeah, I'm taking a stand.
Yeah, I completely agree. I remember, I think I've spoken about this on the podcast before, so sorry for the listeners if I'm repeating myself, but I was at my partner's sister's house and we were looking at something on Instagram and I was like, that doesn't look anything like her. And my partner's sister was like, yeah, Hannah is editing. And I was like, no, because like everything's like a different shape to normal. She was like, yeah, you can do that. And I was like, Hold on, sorry. A filter to me is like a sun-kissed glow over your face. And she was like, no, you can literally, like, there's things that auto-correct, I'm doing quote marks there, and they'll make you, you know, have the idealized characteristics. And I genuinely was completely, this was literally this Christmas. Like, I am a very out-of-touch 26-year-old, apparently. And I just thought, wow, so I, as a 26-year-old, wasn't aware of this. Like, what about my 14-year-old niece that is going on Instagram and seeing all of these pictures and then thinking, I need to look like these people, but they don't even look like them. And I think it builds this, like, even if I do, you know, like a filter where you change the color tone or whatever, you then look in the mirror and you're like, oh my God, who the hell is that? Because it's so different. So actually, if you're completely like morphing your body into a different shape or size, that's surely got to have a massive impact when you then look in the mirror or see your body like that again, that change from what you maybe were expecting, because your brain has made yourself think, well, that's how you look now.
Yeah, exactly. So true. And I guess even if we're thinking about like people, you know, actually changing the way that they look through plastic surgery or fillers, Botox, things that, you know, are becoming just so common. And then, you know, if you're comparing yourself to somebody that's had those treatments done, like you are going to look different to that. And I just think that influencers need to kind of put these disclaimers out there of like, hey, these are the things that I've had done, just so that we understand the reality of it all, that actually, you know, they have like manipulated their body or their face in some way. And do you know what, like, I don't feel like I can sit here and make judgment on that, because that's really up to that person. In fact, like, I've had my teeth done, for example, but I just think it's something that people need to be a bit more honest about, because it's so, yeah, it just really contributes to how we see ourselves, you know, body image on like a wider level, really. So yeah.
Do you think that people that are going to have life-changing surgeries, such as plastic surgery, you know, or they're going to have some adjustment made, do you think that they should be offered therapy before they go for that surgery, or they shouldn't be involved?
Yeah, I do think that they should at least be offered it. I think that obviously it's still, you know, down to that person as to whether or not they decide to go ahead with it. But because changing your body doesn't necessarily change your body image, I think it's important that people understand the reality of what they're about to go through, that just because they change this certain aspect of the way that they look doesn't mean that they're suddenly going to feel whole again. Because as we were saying before, like, the negative body image is essentially a projection of kind of what you're really going through internally. And if you think that that's going to fix absolutely everything, then it's a lie that I think a lot of the beauty industry can kind of sell us as well. So yeah, I definitely have no fear in saying that I think people should be offered therapy before going through with a procedure like that, to really make sure that they're in the right headspace. Because so many people that do go into procedures like that, they're going in because they're struggling with low self-worth at the time, and then it becomes this domino effect of, oh, now I've had that done, I need to have this done, I need to have this done, I need to have this done. And that's where that body image distortion comes in as well. I think probably so many people experience body dysmorphia without even realizing it. And the fact that our appearance can change based on our mood day to day means that we can't just rely on how we look in the mirror every day to like fulfill us and make us feel really happy and whole inside. So
I think what you just said there, like, about people experiencing body dysmorphia and not even realizing, completely think that the rates of body dysmorphia must be so much higher, because I didn't realize that I had it until I went for therapy for an eating disorder and I then got diagnosed. Because it's your perception, so why would you ever doubt your perception and to being wrong unless you're kind of told that you have that distortion? But also I think you're so right in terms of, just because you change something about your body, that's not going to fix those emotions that are underneath, like you said, maybe the low self-esteem, or kind of, oh, if I fix that, then that's going to fix all these other problems that I have in my life. And I think you could maybe compare it to, like, a few years ago, I was like, screw.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
This, I'm going away. And I went away for like a month, and I thought that going away would mean all my problems would go away. The problems still came with me. I was just in a nicer place and still had all these problems. And so I think that's a very similar thing, in that you could change your body thinking that that's going to be the thing that is the issue. But actually, you know, those emotions are still going to be there. And like you said, I think it becomes that kind of battle of, okay, now I've fixed X, well, now I'm not happy with Y, so now I need to go and do Y, and now actually Y's kind of okay, but now I want to go and fix Z. I think that, like, yeah, I think it's really important that that's something that's kind of thought about beforehand. And I don't know actually if there's anything in place that does provide people that support, but I'm gonna guess not.
Yeah, I would imagine that for the majority of services, probably not. Hey, hopefully there are some services out there that do offer that. And if they do, then that is, you know, so awesome. But yeah, I'd imagine probably not. And just to add on to what you were saying there of kind of it never being enough, it's perfectionism in its element, really, isn't it? Because it's like, oh, well, you know, now I've fixed this thing, there's this thing that I need to do. And it's like, it's never going to be enough, which is what an eating disorder is as well. Like, no matter, you know, how much weight you want to try and lose, or how much you want to try and control this aspect of food, or whatever. It's just never, ever going to be enough. And it's just so nasty and icky and horrible. And I just want to give everybody a hug if anybody is going through that right now.
We'll give you a podcast air hug.
A virtual hug. It's going to be okay, I swear.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, isn't it? When someone's struggling with body image, you just want to give them a big hug and say, you know, it's all going to be okay, and like, we're here for you. But something I really did want to touch on, maybe selfishly, because I want some tips, but it's like your changing body. Like, naturally bodies change from when you're small to, you know, your 20s, your 30s, your 40s. We all go through changes. And I really wanted to talk about recovery and changes, because not all the time, but, you know, I think bodies do change, whether that's gaining weight, losing weight. It might be that you gain more muscle, lose muscle. Like, so many things can happen through recovery. And I think often that can be a really big thing that holds people back from recovery, is because they do start to notice their body change and feel that discomfort. So when you're working with clients, how do you navigate things like the changes that people observe in their body?
Yeah, I think first of all, it's really tricky, isn't it? Because change is scary. It means the unknown. It means that we don't know what's going to be around the corner. And it's definitely a parallel, I think, of like noticing the changes in our body and then just experiencing the changes of life as well. So I'd almost be inclined to kind of, with compassion, of course, kind of rip that plaster off and just really put it out there of, hey, change is going to happen. It's a part of life, and it's something that we can't avoid. We can try and escape it, but ultimately we are always going to have to face it. And I think for so many people, what's coupled with change is that fear. So we need to look at, you know, the anxiety around it and kind of find ways of managing that. You know, what are your coping mechanisms for dealing with anxiety? How can you kind of be that grounded person for yourself as you're going through that recovery as well? And I love the analogy of like the trees and then the branches and then the leaves, because the tree, like the tree itself, is the thing that stays the most constant. And then you've got the branches, and then you've got the leaves, and the leaves are the things that maybe change more. So you have to be that like grounded tree stump for yourself. Or, you know, maybe it's kind of the people around you or certain things about your body that are going to, generally speaking, remain constant. For example, if we think about like the function of our bodies and what our bodies can do for us, hopefully throughout the majority of your life, you're going to be able to hug the people that you love, walk around, go to the park, go on holiday, see, hear, touch, taste, smell. These are all things that, generally speaking, do remain a constant throughout our lives. And so I think it's kind of remembering that those things are there, whilst also acknowledging that change is something that constantly happens, and it's okay, you know, you can get through it. I think if anything feels scary when it comes to recovery, it's just being that kind of best friend to yourself, really, isn't it?
Yeah. And I think one thing that I always try and hold on to is that, yes, change is scary. Change is my biggest fear, if I'm being honest. I am not a good adjuster. But actually, I think it's often the anxiety associated with fear that's the worst thing, rather than the actual thing itself. You know, if you think about, you know, moving cities or changing job or, you know, moving schools or whatever change you're going through, it's I mean, personally for me, it's never been as bad as I've been expecting. And actually, you know, when you think about changes like that, they're pretty sudden changes. You know, one day you could be living in Cambridge, the next day you're living in Manchester. That's quite a sudden change, but you'll navigate it and you'll get through it. But when it's body image when it's your body changing, I think one thing I always hold on to is it's never, you know, you're not going to wake up tomorrow and look completely different to how you look today. It is a gradual process, which gives you more time to maybe accept the changes, acknowledge the changes, and really like check in with yourself about how they're making you feel. And that's one thing that I think in weight restoration is really important to hold on to, because I think a lot of people, and I'm like talking about anorexia here, but they will worry about, you know, there's a reason I engaged in this eating disorder, and that's because I didn't like my body at the time and I don't want to go back to that body, so I don't want to weight restore. But actually, like we were saying earlier, with sort of, you know, whether you go for a plastic surgery operation or something, it was never your body that was the problem. There was emotions that were there, and through recovery you'll work through those emotions, which will then allow you to, you might not go back to that body, you might have a completely different body, but hopefully you'll get to a point where you're not dictated by your body, and, you know, difficult emotions will come in and you'll be able to feel comfortable in your body, rather than thinking, oh my god, I don't want to be in this body anymore, I've got to change it.
So I guess when it comes to that weight restoration, and you might be thinking, you know, I don't want to be in a bigger body, I don't want to gain weight, it's also about thinking like, how is this eating disorder really serving you? Like, what is it actually providing you right now? When you think about the cons of the eating disorder and how it can keep us stuck and just trapped in that vicious cycle of like, it's never enough, it's never enough, then I think in a way it's like, there's not that much of the choice than just to kind of trust the process of maybe something else, and kind of, you know, see what else is out there in terms of recovery.
Something else I wanted to ask about as well, because obviously we've just spoken about, you know, changing body, and I don't just want to focus on going from a smaller body into a larger body, but another thing that I wanted to ask you about, because I think we do live in a society where smaller bodies are praised. So if your body weight is changing and it's going down, it will often be, you know, glorified, or people will compliment you, which is twisted anyway. But I guess those comments, well, in the long term, they're not easier to navigate, because in the long term, your identity then revolves around that. But I suppose for somebody that's recovering in a larger body and maybe they're gaining weight, that would be seen as a negative. So would you have any tips for navigating that change and the comments from others that could come alongside that?
Do you mean in terms of like maybe judgmental comments or negative comments that people might receive if they're gaining weight?
Yeah, I suppose even if they're positive, you know, like sometimes someone might say, oh, you're looking really well, which is just a nice comment to receive. And it doesn't really matter where it's coming from. I think when somebody is struggling with body image, I think the increase of weight can always be taken as a negative. So I guess that's more what I was asking, of comments around whether you're, you know, in a body that's small and then it's kind of getting bigger, or you're existing in a larger body, which is also getting bigger. It's just navigating those comments about gaining weight.
Yeah, I mean, it's no doubt that those comments come up, you know, daily in our society. We might not always be the ones hearing those comments, but they can feel extremely triggering. And I guess there's a few different ways in which you could navigate it, depending on your relationship with that person, depending on how comfortable you feel. Obviously, one is kind of calling it out and saying, you know, I appreciate that you're sharing something positive with me here, and I just want to let you know that comments like that can be somewhat unhelpful, because I remember making comments when I was quite a bit younger like that, and I feel embarrassed now to think that I made those comments, because I would never do that now. I really try and steer clear from commenting on appearance just in general, to be honest, because I don't kids always that helpful, and it's so hard to get away from. So I think just reminding yourself that, you know, usually people's intentions are all well and good. And so just knowing that, you know, hopefully people aren't kind of, you know, actually trying to be really judgmental and negative. And if they are, then that's very much on them. So reminding yourself of that. And then either kind of calling it out and saying, hey, you know, I don't really find this too helpful. And if not, just kind of centering back to yourself. I think so much about what we're kind of talking about today is regrounding yourself back into where you're at and who you are and what you want your recovery to look like, because you know what's helpful and you know the kind of recovery focused language that you can be saying to yourself. So it might be that.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited, no purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
You know, you go home and you look at your reasons for recovery again, or you have a bit of a journaling session and you just write down the things that, you know, you need to be reminded of that moment when a trigger comes up for you. Like, you're in control of that at the end of the day. We're not in control of the triggers around us and the triggers that we hear so often, but you then get to decide how you're going to react to that in some way. And just kind of going back to what you were saying before, I think just really acknowledging change, like when you were saying that change is something that's gradual, particularly with your body, you know, like so many things are changing in our body as well. Just thinking about it now, like our hair, our nails, and just even those really little kind of like minute things. And so, yeah, we do have that time to kind of adapt and process and just really think about like, okay, this is how I'm feeling right now. There's some change that's going on for me. This is how I'm going to sort of process it in some way. The more we acknowledge that things are happening rather than trying to run away from them, I think the more we just somehow are able to deal with those things. And I'm finding this a lot in my personal life at the moment, that, you know, something happens and I'm trying to sort of think different about it. But actually, we don't always need that CBT route of like challenging thoughts. Just by acknowledging that a thought is there and then letting it land and then letting it dissipate can actually be so much more powerful than trying to constantly challenge every single thought that's coming up for you. I feel like I'm going off on a bit of a tangent now, really, but I just think that is such an amazing coping mechanism for really anything that we've talked about so far.
Yeah, it's really interesting actually that you should say that, because I earlier was in a therapy session and you know, various personal things going on, and I said to my therapist, right now I just need to go and sit in the clouds and get away from this, because I don't want to, there's nothing I can do, it's all out of my control, nothing is in my control, and I would just quite like to go up and sit and just, you know, to let it be. And she was like, you know, there is a time and a place where that sort of avoidant response is actually okay, because if you can't do anything about it, then that's perfectly okay to go and sit above the clouds and just kind of be at one with it all and to just sit with it. And I think sometimes we can try so much to control things and change things that are so out of our control. So I think it's really focusing in on like what is within your reach and what are you just going to kind of burn out trying to change?
Yeah.
And something else I just wanted to say as well, in terms of change. You know, it made me think of it when you said, like, everything's changing, like, you know, our hair and all of this. And one of my friends who knows that I am not good with change was like, let's try and increase your susceptibility to change. And actually every day just notice like 5 things that have changed that are actually, you know, you wouldn't have even noticed before, like the orientation of a flower or the positioning of a teaspoon on your counter. Like those things, it's totally fine. Like they've happened and the world hasn't exploded. You're still fine. And she was just saying to keep doing that, and then maybe bigger things like, oh, the car outside is parked differently or what have you. And then you can maybe start to notice things about yourself, but really increasing that susceptibility to then know, okay, so, you know, going back to what you said earlier about things like bloating, which I think in recovery is a really difficult thing to go through. Okay, I'm bloated right now. It will pass. World's not exploded. I'm still here. It's totally cool. And it really just lets you kind of, again, kind of float up into the clouds. Can't do anything about it. Just got to be with it.
Yeah, it's just that acceptance of change happening and that change is all around us. And when we think about it, change can be seen as something that is actually really beautiful. It's a part of life and it allows the fluidity of life. It allows us to have freedom that an eating disorder can, you know, really trap us in. So, yeah, I think that that is so calming and reassuring that you can actively choose to notice the changes that are happening and perhaps also notice how that anticipatory anxiety actually be so much bigger than the actual thing that's happening. And what's really at the center, I would say, of fear and anxiety is the belief of I'm not going to be able to handle it. And so by doing those little exercises like, oh, hey, look, like that car's just driven past. It's just moved from one place to the next. Or, oh, like, I mean, even if you have like a haircut, you know, that's a change that you go through as well. That can be a really exciting change. So,
and initially you feel just anxious and you're like, oh, how's it going to look on me? And then you do it and you're like, oh my God, I look amazing. Or you think, wow, this is the worst mistake of my life. It's going to grow back and it's totally fine.
It does. Yeah, it's all going to be okay. And so you're basically giving yourself that evidence of, hey, I can deal with these changes around me. So I can deal with other changes that happen in my life as well. And I think in doing that, you really build up that self-confidence, that stuff that's really coming from within. And, you know, you can just take on the rest of the world as soon as you're showing yourself that you really can do it. So, I think that's a great little exercise for people to practice. And also just to put it out there, I am the worst at change. Like my friend Emily, she always says this to me. She's like, I know you do find it difficult with change. And I'm like, oh, I really do. And I don't even always like to admit it to myself sometimes, because I am somebody that's moved around quite a bit. I've lived in different countries. I've worked at different organizations. And I guess I have been able to get through them. But certainly at the beginning stages of all of that, you know, there is a lot of the anxiety and the and so, yeah, I think also just normalizing that change is hard and that change is something that a lot of people do find it difficult to go through is, it's reassuring, you know, you're not alone in going through those difficult changes.
Yeah, I think you've knocked the nail on the head in that it's the fear of not being able to handle the change. And it's that lack of trust in self and that lack of self-confidence that means that we do really fear the change. And so if you're able to kind of build those foundations of knowing that whatever happens, like you will be there, you'll be your number one fan and you'll get through it. And yeah, it might be tough. Like I'm not saying it's going to be rainbows and sparkles the whole way through. It might be a really tough time. But equally, I think out of that, you know, you'll learn, you'll develop and grow. And so even the kind of toughest changes can often have positive impacts. And I just wanted to add as well that I also hate change so much that whenever I'm going on holiday, I literally will like refuse to pack until the last minute, because I'm like, I just don't think I want to go. Like, it's going to be awful. Like, you know, all these things in my head running around. The last holiday I went on, I then cried when I had to get on the plane because I didn't want to leave. And it's just like so annoying because I have all that, like, I don't want to go, I don't want to go. And then I'm like, I'm not going home. I'm having the best time.
Yeah, I don't want to go home now either. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it sounds like there's definitely a lot of catastrophizing that can go on in your brain when it comes to that change, which, you know, we're all susceptible, aren't we, to those different, like, unhelpful thinking styles, catastrophizing, jumping to conclusions. I think something that can come up for quite a lot of people is the unhelpful thought of weight gain means that nobody is ever going to find me attractive ever again, or weight gain means that I'm going to gain so much weight that I'm not going to be able to move, you know. So just those really quite, like, blowing things out of proportion. And when we actually kind of rationalize with it and see that, you know, it doesn't have to be that way, it's like, oh, okay, everything's gonna be all right now. And if it's not challenging thoughts, if that kind of feels like it's becoming too exhausting, then yeah, as you were saying about just kind of letting it be, I really love that approach to thoughts sometimes, of just kind of detaching yourself from them. It's not even always about avoiding them completely, but it's about recognizing, okay, that thought is there. I know I can't push it away right now because it is so at the forefront of my own mind. So I'm going to let it be. And in letting it be and accepting that it's there, it somehow then starts to dissipate. And trust the process with that one, because I never believed that that would work. And it really, really does. It comes from, I think, ACT, Acceptance and Commitment mm-hmm. Therapy, which I guess is sort of like an off branch of CBT for people that are not familiar with ACT. And I think it just kind of, like, explains another way of coping with our thoughts that's not always trying to challenge every single one, because we have over 6,000 thoughts a day. And if you're struggling with negative body image or an eating disorder, most of them are going to be centered around food and body image. So don't feel like you have to challenge every single thought you have about food and about your body.
Yeah, just get rid of the black and white thinking. That's what we need to do. Doesn't have to be that all or nothing. There's shades of grey in there, and they're great places to be.
They are.
Thank you so much, Sophie. It's been so lovely to chat to you. Where can people find out more about you and your and all the amazing stuff that you're doing?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's been so lovely to chat with you. So you can find me on Instagram. I actually just changed my handle today to eatingdisordertherapist_. It used to be _ eating disorder therapist. My website is foodbodyself.co.uk. And I have also recently started a new venture with my amazing friend, Rebecca, called Project Prevented, which is where we are going into schools and delivering workshops and talks on eating disorder prevention and disordered eating prevention. So you can find us at Project Prevented on Instagram.
Amazing. Well, best of luck with that. That sounds awesome. And also exciting with the new handle on Instagram. But yeah, it's been a pleasure to chat to you. So thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much for having me, Hannah. Take care.
If you enjoyed listening today, you won't want to miss next week's episode. So be sure to subscribe. Eating disorders are crippling illnesses, but with the right support, they can be recovered from. We really hope you enjoyed this episode, but if you require more support right now, please look into charities such as First Steps and Beat for support, or talk to someone you trust.
Moro Casino. American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.